Good to see everyone out this evening. One announcement that I was just handed, Dale Boyd will have a procedure on Tuesday in Birmingham. So we need to remember her in our prayers for that. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back and visit with us anytime that you have opportunity. Of course, ultimately, we'd love to have you come here all the time. So I don't know if you're like me, but around my house, we kind of have an evening routine, if you will. You know, we have supper, we play a few games, brush our teeth, get ready for bed, and then we watch one episode of Mickey Mouse. We all sit down together. So a while back, we're watching one of these evening episodes of Mickey Mouse, and it's the episode where Mickey gives Pluto a bath. And so during the course of the bath, Mickey and Pluto both get caught in a soap bubble. And the wind starts blowing, and they start blowing away from the clubhouse. And as Mickey explains, there's no steering wheel in this bubble. We're out of control. We don't have any control over where we go. Just wherever the wind blows us, that's where we're heading. And so they just float along, and the world's passing them by. And they go all the way into outer space before they come back to where they started from and land in a mud puddle. So they have to start all over with the bath again at the end of the show. And I told Brooke, I said, jokingly, sometimes that's kind of how I feel. Like, I'm caught in a bubble. You know, you just have so much going on. If you're like me, you work 40-plus hours a week. You come home and there's things at the house, chores that need to be done. You want to spend some time with your spouse. You want to spend some time with your kids. And it just seems like everything in the world is just passing by so quickly. Like I don't have time to enjoy the moment, to experience what I'm supposed to experience, to do what I'm supposed to do. See, all those things I mentioned, I haven't even mentioned anything spiritual yet. Like I'm caught in a bubble. I'm just so busy. And I'm probably not the only one in this room who feels that way. That you're just caught up in busyness. That's your bubble. It's just carrying you along. So what can we do about it? That's what I want to talk about tonight. Something funny as we begin. In 1965, a Senate subcommittee predicted we would be working just 14 hours a week by the year 2000 and would have at least 7 weeks of vacation time. Now, does that explain your work week? Mine either. It was said that the greatest problem our generation would face is what are we going to do with all the spare time we've got? You feel that way? You've just got so much spare time, you don't know what you're going to do with it. Or if you're like me, it's like you have no spare time. Like you're constantly just going and going and going and going. And you don't even have time to be still, even for a moment. Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." God tells His people, we need to take time to be still. To sit down, to take a moment to reflect, to think about God, to think about everything He's done for us. And yet sometimes are we too busy to do that? Like we don't have a chance to do that? Jesus Himself realized how important this was. Mark chapter 6, it says, "Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and His apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. You ever been so busy that you missed a meal? I know you have. You get up in the morning and you're rushing around and you're trying to get out the door and you're trying to get the kids ready. I don't even have time for breakfast today. And then you get to work, and you're just so busy working, and I'm just going to work through lunch because I need to get caught up, or I've got errands I've got to go run at lunch, and I'll skip lunch today. Or you get home, and there's something that needs to be fixed at the house, something that has to be done, chores you want to get finished before you go to bed, I'll skip dinner tonight. And that's how busy Jesus was. They hadn't even had a chance to eat. And He tells His apostles, we need some quiet time, some time to rest, some time to reflect. Let's go be by ourselves. he understood it was important. So I guess the question is, why are we so busy? Why are you and I so busy that we don't have time to rest, that we don't have time to stop and enjoy a quiet moment? I think it basically comes down to three different things. We'll call this our busy to-do list. And the first one are honorable pursuits. Honorable pursuits. You might think of these as the good things in life. Our marriage. People who are married are busy with their marriage. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Titus 2, verse 4, talks about the older women. May they teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands. We spend time in our marriages, time with our spouse. Our spouse deserves attention. It's our responsibility to give it to them. It's an honorable thing. It's a good thing. It's something we should be doing. Children may also be busy. You know, we don't think about kids being busy, but they go to school, they have homework, maybe they're involved in some other activities, maybe give them chores to do. Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So even children are busy. We may also be busy as parents. Colossians 3, 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Proverbs 31, I believe the adult class studied this morning in an auditorium. Talks about there the virtuous woman. Says she opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. We're busy as parents. Teaching our kids, spending time with our kids. Enjoying that time with our kids. But it keeps us busy, and certainly with our jobs. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says that a person should provide for his own and especially for those of his own house. And if you have a full-time job, you're putting in at least 40 hours. And you have travel time back and forth, and sometimes you work overtime. Some of you guys have to travel for work, so even when you're off work, you're away from the house. It keeps us busy. And again, all of that, and we haven't talked about Bible class, studying for that, spending time in prayer, spending time just in personal Bible study, talking to other people about God's Word. Luke chapter 10 is a story that we all know. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset of many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Think if Jesus was coming to your house. How much time would you spend cleaning the house, making preparations, fixing food, making a place for him to sleep, to clean up, to refresh himself, to bathe, whatever. All the work that would go into that. And that's an honorable thing. It is a good thing. And here we look at Martha, and she almost kind of looks like the villain of the story, but what she's doing is good. But Jesus points out, he says, Mary has chosen what is better. It's not that what you're doing isn't good, it's but what she's doing is better. Sometimes we miss that. And even the blessings that we have, that God has given us, Satan will use against us, our education or career. You know, some people are so smart, so intelligent, that they truly can go as far as their dreams take them. But that pursuit, that education that they go after, or that career that they go after, can sometimes get in the way of growing spiritually. In fact, most kids who grow up in the church, if they're going to leave the church, do so when they're in college. And we have some who will be going off to college. The biggest challenge you're going to face is staying spiritually strong while you're also focused on your schoolwork. Not getting so busy that you forget about God. Or our health and our strength. You know, some people are so healthy, so strong, they compete in athletics, marathons, you know, Little League, whatever. And that's good. And it's wonderful that God's blessed you with that ability. But do we ever let that distract us from something that's better? Not that that's bad, but there's something better. Do we let that distract us? Even our family, even time with our family. And you see the quote up there. I had a friend that I grew up with, and several years ago, I saw a post she put on Sunday morning on Facebook. Said, you know, we got up this morning, we were getting ready for church, and the kids were like, Mom, we really want to go to the river, go fishing, something. It was some recreation. And she said, you know what? I've decided to spend time with my family today doing what they want to do. I'm sure God understands. And if we feel that way, it's not that God understands. I think it's that we misunderstand. Matthew chapter 10, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. There are some really good things in life, some blessings that God has given us. But we need not to let those things get in the way of something that's better. When we're too busy. We allow ourselves to be distracted by what is good, missing out on what is better, because we don't prioritize. We don't prioritize our activities. Matthew chapter 6 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And wealth is not necessarily money. It could be a wealth of blessings. A wealth of things that are good. We can't let that get in the way of something that's better. So we can mark off honorable pursuits on our to-do list. There's also some wasteful pursuits. And probably all of us have these as well. I want to talk about five men at the cross. First, we're looking at a centurion in Mark chapter 15 who witnesses Jesus dying on the cross and the events that surround that. And in verse 39 of Mark 15, it says, when the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. What an incredible statement. What an incredible opportunity to witness Jesus dying on the cross. You know, I'm sure if any of us as Christians could get in a time machine and go back to any one day in history, this would be the one most of us would pick. To go back and see Jesus on the cross. You know, there were some other people who were actually there. Four men, in fact. John chapter 19, starting in verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. If we could go back in time and see Jesus on the cross, what a moment that would be. And yet here's four guys who are at that very place, who have an opportunity to witness the Son of God, their Savior, dying for their very sins. This is without doubt the most important moment in the history of mankind, and they're playing dice for a dead man's jacket. Man, they missed the moment, didn't they? They really missed the moment. They could have seen it. They could have witnessed it, just like the centurion. They could have believed. But instead, they're too worried about the coat. And we can look at that and think, how could you miss that? How could you miss that moment? And yet, you know, sometimes we miss the moment too. When we could have a Bible story with our kids. But instead, let's pull up something on Netflix. See what's on. Watch a movie. Binge watch a show. You don't ever hear about anybody binge reading their Bible, do we? We could study God's Word. We could look for answers to problems in our lives, but instead, hey, let's call a friend and just complain about them. Or we could have a quiet moment of prayer. But instead, let's get on Facebook for the fourth time today and see what's happening. You know, I usually try to do a lot of reading when I'm in preparation. And in reading for this sermon and studying, I came across a lot of websites like this, success.com. This is not for Christians. This is for people who are CEOs who are trying to better run their business. This is for people who are small business owners who are trying to be more productive. This is for people who are managers of companies who want to get the most out of their employees, the most out of their day, who are trying to be as efficient as possible. And so this website, and a lot of others like it, put together a list of things successful people never do. Number one on almost every one of those lists, productive, successful people don't get sucked into social media. Not for Christians. This is people who are trying to be more productive, more successful in life. But let's change that word people to Christians. Productive, successful Christians don't get sucked into social media. I copied and pasted it straight from the website. Being on social media, checking notifications on Facebook, scrolling through pictures on Instagram, reading quick updates on Twitter, whatever, it's part of everyday life. But if you don't control how much time you spend on it, the hours will fly by and you won't have accomplished anything on your to-do list. So either put a time limit on it or only get on after completing necessary work projects. Man, that's actually pretty good advice for Christians. We have so many things that God wants us to do, that He put us here to do, that we should be busy with. And sometimes we get sucked into social media and spend a lot more time than we really had planned on spending. So we can mark off wasteful pursuits. I think there's really one other thing that takes our time, and that is the pursuits of others. You ever had anybody say, hey, have you got a second? Can I have just a minute of your time? Have you got just a moment? I want to show you something. You ever had anybody do that? Like your coworkers or your boss? Hey, can you come in here for a minute? I want you to help me with this or that. You ever had coworkers do that to you? And maybe it's not even really your job, but they want you to help them with it anyway. I know the answer to that because some of you have told me so. Or after school activities like band or fundraisers, that, hey, do you mind helping with this? Or sports, really need help in the concession stand. If you've got time, we would love to have you. Or charitable events, or, oh, that salesman that comes to the door. I got to tell y'all, several months ago, Brooke's gone to the grocery store. I'm at home. I got both the kids. They're asleep. The doorbell rings. I don't know why I answered it, but I did. Are you the head of the household? I said, no, she's gone shopping. She'll be back in a little bit. And I'm home alone with two kids. Oh, you've got kids. That's perfect. Do you have stains on your carpet? I don't have carpet. I thought that would teach you. That's great. Do you have tile, toilets, tubs, windows, anything else, vinyl, stainless steel? I've got this Wonder product that cleans everything. I was like, yeah, and we've got a cabinet full of stuff that cleans all that. But I do appreciate you coming by, and I'm trying to get back in. Well, do you have any red dirt stains on your brick? Do you have rust stains on your concrete? Let me remind you guys what I do for a living. I'm a builder, and we specialize in masonry, and there is nothing that takes red dirt stains out of brick. Nothing. There's nothing that takes rust stains out of concrete. So at this point, I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do have that. And he says, well, I've got this product, and for only $20, I'll sell it to you. And I said, okay. I got a stain out here in the driveway. Let's try that. He says, you want to try it? I said, yeah, absolutely. If you're going to sell me a $20 bottle of vinegar, let's go try this, and I want to show you. He says, do you know what this stain is? I said, I do. It's rust. I know that because I've hit it with a pressure washer, acid treatment, chemical treatment, everything else, and it's still sitting there. Let's go try it. So we walk out there, and he takes his bottle, and he said, now, before we do this, I want to show you something. He said, this is friendly to the environment. This is green. This is biodegradable. And he takes that bottle, and he squirts that stuff in his mouth, which confirmed to me this is probably just a bottle of vinegar. And I said, yeah, that's neat. He says, so this is a spot. Do you know what this is? I said, that's rust. Would it impress you if I took that spot out of your driveway? I said, it sure would. I said, I do this for a living. That ain't coming up. If it did, I'd buy every bottle you had, and I'd be selling it for double that. If I get people call me all the time. So he gets down, and he takes his bottle, and he shoots it about three times. And he looks at it, and he pulls a little toothbrush out of his pocket. Now, sir, I'm going to take this toothbrush, and I'm going to rub it right across the middle of that stain, and it's going to disappear. And I said, do it. Let's see it. So he takes his toothbrush and he goes across it 1, 2, 3 times, and that stain is gone. I mean, gone. Now, I'm not going to tell you how many bottles I bought, but for just $40, I will sell you a bottle of Clean and Clean. And you can have your own. It's hard to say no. It's hard to say no to people. Do you feel that way? But you can. Jesus did. Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" What's he saying? I'm not interested. The guy comes to him, "Jesus, I want you to be a judge between us." He says, "I'm not interested. I don't have time right now." And for those of you who work with somebody and your coworker's always dumping their work on you, this is basically Jesus saying, that's not my job. You know, we don't want to be rude and we don't want to be mean, but it's okay to say no. To tell somebody, no, I don't have time to do that. You know, but come back to me next time. Maybe I will. I've just got too much going on. No one can take our time. No one can waste our time. We give it to them. That's our choice. And if we have too much going on in our lives, then we're the ones who need to look at our lives and figure out where we can make cuts. Because it's our time. Where does that time go? Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Where does our time go? What are we spending it on? And if this is the greatest commandment, are we making time for it? Or are we just too busy? In conclusion, I want us to consider our soul. We all know this parable in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the soils. It talks about the farmer goes out and sows the seed, and some falls by the path and some on the rocky places. And then skipping down, it says, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. Ask yourself this, am I among the thorns? Am I the seed that fell among the thorns? Jesus explains what that means later in the chapter. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Are the cares in your life, the busyness of your life, choking you out from loving God? You just don't have time for it. The single greatest reason we are here, to love and serve God, but we're just too busy to do it. For those who've been following along with the Bible puzzle, you know the answer. We were created for good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do so." He's prepared work for us to do. We should be busy, but we should be busy serving Him. Is that the case in your life? As we're about to close and have a song of invitation, I want to ask, if you're not a Christian, why not tonight? There's never a better chance to do so. If your life isn't what it needs to be, why not make changes? Make time for the Lord. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come.